Hello and welcome to our broadcast. We're in number 5 in this series on how to handle the apostasy. We're in the book of Jude. Have your Bible ready if you can. Well, Jude gave us 7 little things here on how to handle the age of apostasy, beginning to read in verse number 20 in the book of Jude. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. What a portion of Scripture. What a tremendous portion of Scripture. Well, we've been looking at these 7 things here. The first one is building up yourselves in your most holy faith. The second one was praying in the Holy Ghost. And then the third one is keeping yourselves in the love of God, verse number 21. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. Now, to keep, the dictionary says, is to cause to continue on a specified course. Now, when it says keeping yourselves, what does it mean? Well, we've mentioned this before, and it's very important to understand that the Bible says that we are created in the image of God. That is, God is a 3-part being, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And we are created as in the image of God. That is, we are a 3-part being. And we are a body, a soul, and a spirit. Our body, of course, is what we see. We don't see each other. We see each other's body. The person lives inside. That person consists of the mind, the will, and the emotions. And then the third part is the spirit, which the Bible says the Holy Spirit speaks with our spirit. And if we'll let the Holy Spirit direct our spirit will in turn direct our mind, our will, and our emotions. And that's the way it ought to happen. Now, when it says keep yourselves, it's talking about keep your mind, your will, and your emotions, the self-life, keep them in the love of God. Now, love must be cultivated. You don't meet somebody and then 10 years later meet them again for the second time and say, boy, I really love you. Love is something that grows from communication and from being together. And to love one another, if we're going to have that kind of love with the Lord, then we're going to have to be communicating with him. We're going to have to be close to him. We're going to have to be in his word and let his word be within us. We look back in the book of Revelation, and the Bible says there that the Lord said to the pastor at Ephesus, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. That quite often gets quoted wrong. Quite often it's quoted that you've lost your first love. Don't say that. You lose something that might be acceptable. I mean, you could lose something and not decide to lose it. But if you leave something, it's a result of a decision. And so when we leave that love that we should have with the Lord, it's because we get too busy with other things that we think are more important to us. And so what he says is to keep yourselves, keep your mind, your will, and your emotions focused on the love of God and communicating and having a relationship with him. A relationship, as we said, must be cultivated, and we can only cultivate it as we spend time together. The next thing he says here is looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Very interesting. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, looking, it's talking here in Hebrews 12 and 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, you remember that Peter got out of the boat there and he started walking on the water, and he saw the wind boisterous and he was afraid, he began to sink. Well, first of all, you can't see the wind. That's just a misconception that Peter had. He heard, you know, it's going on around him. Now, in this age of apostasy, if you focus on the Lord and not on the wind of apostasy that's whirling around us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, rather than unto all the garbage that's going on in the world and all the apostasy that we have to live in. And so he says, looking, that's important, looking unto Christ, have our focus on the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We have eternal life. This little time we're spending here on earth and this little time as we go through this age of apostasy is pretty small. Someone has said you go into a cemetery and you look at the tombstones and what you see there is a small dash between two dates, and that's what life is all about. And so as we get to the end of the age and things are happening the way they're happening now, it's very, very obvious that we are getting close to the time when the Lord is coming back. And so keep looking to Christ and don't be focusing on the garbage that's going on around us. Now, interestingly enough, the next thing he says, if some have compassion, making a difference. What's that mean? Well, if some have compassion, that word has been translated have mercy on 14 times. With some have mercy, or with some have compassion. Now, if you're going to have mercy, it's something that somebody doesn't deserve. If they deserve it, it's not mercy. So he's saying now, you're going to have to be compassionate, you're going to have some mercy, but he says making a difference. With some. Now, there's some here that you can have compassion on, even though they don't deserve it, but you need to make a difference. Now, that word difference has been translated judge 3 times. It has been translated discern 2 times. So he's saying now, you need to have some compassion on some people. You need to have some mercy on some people in this age of apostasy. There's some Christians out there who are just confused, and there might be hope for them. They're not totally into this slush of apostasy yet. There might be hope for them. And though what the Word of God is saying here is making a difference, what you need to do is be able to judge the difference, be able to discern, is there any hope for them or is there not? You talk to someone and they might say, well, I'm open to the truth. Well, that's not exactly what they need to be, because if you're open to the truth, you're also open to everything else. Oh, I'm open to the truth, or I'm open to error. No, what we need to do is be closed to everything but the truth. And so it's important that we can find those people in this age of apostasy, and they just haven't been taught, but they're open to the truth. And so he says, have the discernment to know who they are, because those people, you can have some compassion on them, even though they're living like those people over there who are apostate. Now, he says here, making a difference, judging, having the discernment to know the difference. I have watched over the years as I've traveled. I've been a Christian since I was 12 years old. I'm now 72 years old. That's a long time. And I've watched over the years, and I have concluded that there's about 10% of the people in our local churches who would do right, even if they didn't have a pastor. They would try their best to serve the Lord and have, devotions with their family and teach their young people the things of the Lord. There's about 10% of the people in our local churches who wouldn't do right if Jesus was the pastor. They're just not going to listen. And there's 80% in the middle who can be influenced. They can be influenced by the 10% who want to do right, or they can be influenced by the 10% who wouldn't do right if Jesus was the pastor. They're just there. And so Jesus said, I wish you were hot or cold. I like in fact, he said, I wish you were cold or hot. He even used the cold first. He says, we know where they stand and we know where the hot stand, that 80% in the middle. Well, he says that group, you need to be able to make a difference. You need to be able to judge so as to discern who you can help in that group. And then in next thing he says, and others, and of others, now we get into another group of people here. He says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted with the flesh. Now, with this group, he says, we're past the stage of this other group. This is a rescue mission that we're going on now. And so he says, we need to save them. We need to rescue them. And he says to move with fear, move with fear. Now, why is he talking about moving with fear? Well, If we check again, comparing Scripture with Scripture, which is the best way to study the Bible, you go back to the story of Noah, and it says there, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Now, he moved with fear. What does that mean? He moved realizing the seriousness of the situation. I don't know if many of us realize the situation and the seriousness of the situation of this apostate age that we are living in. I think Noah also realized that if he was going to do what God wanted him to do, it was going to cost him something. That would create a little fear. Where are we going to get the money to build a boat that big? Where are we going to get the money to get the supplies? And who's going to give us a hand? Nobody. Not too many people. Just your family. And not only that, if he's going to do what God wanted him to do, it's going to cost him his reputation. That might cause a little fear. And it did cost him his reputation. Everybody thought he was crazy. And if you are going to stand and be true to the cause of Jesus Christ today, you are going to be thought to be crazy. People are going to call you a troublemaker. They're going to say you're causing division. They're going to say all kinds of things. The Bible says that that would happen. So, you know, if you don't, if it's too hot in the kitchen, get out of the kitchen. Go to some apostate church and be there. But if you're going to stand for the Lord, then stand up and be counted for the Lord. Just stand up and be counted. And so we have two groups here. One group sort of standing on the sideline that can be influenced to go either way. And we are to make a difference. That is, we are to judge so as to discern if we can influence them to get out of this apostasy and stand true to the Lord. But if you're going to do that, make sure they count the cost. Jesus said it that way, all right? Don't get into this war unless you're going to count the cost. Because if you put your hand to the plow and turn back, you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Let's count the cost. Well, then you have this other group. And as we said, it's not just mercy now. This is a rescue mission. And so we need to see if we can help some people. They're in the fire. I mean, they're not saved. They need to know, they need to be saved. And fire, as we know, destroys everything in its path like a wildfire. And that's what we're living in this age of apostasy today. Now, verse 23 goes on to say, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, you need to hang on here a little bit here. This is, what is hating? Hating is an intense dislike. Hating the garment, not the people, spotted by the flesh. Now, if you want to study the Bible about garments, it's a very interesting study, and we're not going to do it on this broadcast, but there's different words used in the Bible for garments, and sometimes it refers to the outer garment, and sometimes it refers to the undergarment, or what we would call underwear. And God gives us a very interesting metaphor. Kind of surprising that he would give us one like this. The apostasy, in his definition, he puts it in God's definition, he puts it like spotted underwear. That's quite an analogy here. Now, Paul's picture of religious activity, he said in Philippians 3:8, I do count them but dung. That's quite an analogy. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting how God uses some of these analogies. In fact, the word dung is in the Bible 28 times, so before you get upset with me, read your Bible. But that's a very interesting metaphor here that he says, now there's two types of garments, and he says this type that he's using here is the undergarment, is spotted by the flesh. Well, and then the next thing we have in verse 24, and this is very important to focus here, it says, him that is able to keep you from falling. Now, here we have him that is able. Years ago, we used to sing the little chorus, he is able, he is able, I know he is able, I know my Lord is able to carry thee through. That he's able to keep thee. To keep thee, as we said, is to cause us to continue in a certain condition, to continue in a certain position, to continue on a certain course. He can cause you to continue and keep us from falling. Falling, interesting, it's only used here, this word, and it has to do with falling for the apostasy that is all around us. It has nothing to do with getting unsaved. And so falling, Matthew 24, again, Jesus warned, many false prophets shall come in, and many will be deceived. 2 Peter 2:2 says, many shall follow their pernicious ways, their destructive ways. By the way, that verse goes on to say, by reason of whom the way of truth truth shall be evil spoken of. These apostates will speak evil of someone who is trying to stand for the truth today. Well, verse 24 says that Christ can present you faultless before the presence of his glory. That is Christ presenting me personally to his Father. That's a serious thought. We should keep that in mind as we live in this world today. He can present us before the Father without rebuke. That's what faultless means here, without rebuke. Well, we're out of time. We just touched the surface of this. Study those verses for yourself, and you'll be able to know how to stand in an age of apostasy.